Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's like it's the first guy to ever be like, science has gone too far, is somebody who made a brick house. It's like, no! Yeah.
Here. Welcome. Hi, the world's number one fake history podcast and the world's number 554th real history podcast.
I'm
gonna say we're somewhere around there probably.
I submitted a couple episodes that I did on real life for you.
Okay. And this one's I mean realer life, I suppose. We're gonna be talking about Chinese mythology. I'm not going to call it Chinese mythology 101 because that's too generous. I'm going to call it like grade 9 Chinese mythology, maybe. I'll give us.
Okay.
I think we're high school at least, right? We're past middle school in our caliber, probably.
I think so. Yeah, we've done enough episodes to get us through like a high school degree, but I just don't know where we started. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Okay.
Yeah. So before we get into that, I wanted to give a shout out to our patrons. New patron, Commodore Turtle. Hi, welcome. Finally, honestly. Jeez Louise.
it took you long enough. My God.
Yeah. No. Welcome to the crew. Hope you're enjoying your perks. Is there anyone else, Peter? Did I forget anyone?
Yeah. Someone up their sub today.
Ed Gein's belt, thank you very much, from going from 3 to 9, so paying for democracy. Yeah. There
still still a bad name. apparently it's in reference to something we said. I think I don't remember.
It's a real crime scene. It's real crime scene evidence.
Cool, thanks so much. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thelore boys.
And sorry we missed you last week. We were in a bit of a time crunch.
Yeah exactly. Cool. So to start us off, what do you guys know about Chinese mythology?
I know the skinny dragons. The skinny dragons that can fly around, they don't have wings, right?
They have many gods too.
Yeah,
like
for
not
sure.
Just the one god.
It's even to the point where like the definition of god is like can be drastically different in a lot of senses, right? More akin to like the kami from Japanese mythology, who I think we've talked about a little bit before, who are more like, some of them can just be like spirits. We're going to talk about some like god emperors essentially, and the entire basis of early Chinese civilization was based on the idea of a theocracy, which is, you know, the people ruling are divine. Like why else would they be in power, right? So like kind of god emperors and things like that. Not to bring it back to 40K like I always do, but the idea of a god emperor is originally from Chinese mythology, much more than 40K. We're going to talk about
god emperor in 40K. Is he Chinese?
Yeah,
he's Turkish.
Exactly. He is Turkish. Yeah, Turkish.
40,000 years later, you could be China. You could be just about anything. It'd probably be unrecognized.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, if 40,000 years from now we're all going to intermarry, we'll all be Chinese. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about
that's the
we'll all
pot.
Be god emperors.
Yeah. I guess at the top, apologies for my pronunciation on some of these things. It's going to be very anglicized. I might give it a go once or
a
twice.
A lot of GXIs in there is what I'm assuming.
There's a lot of stuff that I looked up some pronunciations, and then I was like, damn, even with the pronunciation that they're reading to me, I still can't pronounce that the way that they do. It's just it's almost like it's a foreign language to me. Also, I guess on the top, we'll be a little irreverent with all this, as we so often are, but only, you know, only respect for people's beliefs and all that stuff. And then, you know, we're going to goof on them a little bit, probably. Because we're talking about a little headless goblin towards the end of this episode, but we gotta go through to get there, right?
Now let me guess ahead of time. Are we talking about John Cena? I know he makes a lot of trips to China. He's a big supporter of China. You've seen his big chilling clip where he's talking about ice cream. Of course you have. So is John Cena a god in China?
I can only guess, I suppose. We're gonna get to about 200 BC the timeline, so
The Rock god, was around, but
yeah, exactly.
The Rock was around. John Cena hadn't been seen yet.
It's probably much more of like some sort of folkloric monster you might see in like the Nepalese mountains, right?
Or you might not see in the Nepalese mountains, huh?
Right.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, get your drinks ready. There's gonna be a lot of take a drinks probably in this episode. And I'll start us off with in the beginning, the universe was in a state of chaos, void of order and structure.
Ooh, damn, hitting the void right off the bat. They weren't coming in hot.
Right.
Until China fucking whipped the universe into shape, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, I think what was interesting about like reading up on a lot of this stuff today was like, we talk about it all the time, like everything is derivative, but seeing like how one-to-one so much stuff is pretty always pretty interesting to see. Brings a smirk to my face.
If China also being one of maybe not the oldest, because there's like the Fertile Crescent is just closer to Africa. China is one of the oldest cultures on the planet.
Yeah. So again, we'll get up to about like, or will we get, I'm trying to remember how far up. Maybe we don't even get to 200 BC. Maybe we get more.
Does
the
goblin predate
BC.
Jesus?
Yeah, for sure. He predates Jesus. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, it is quite old, no matter what you think. You know, and oldest, not oldest, I couldn't say. I haven't read about them all. So according to Chinese mythology, in this kind of primordial void, there emerged two divine siblings. Once again, you could probably take a drink. We have.
Oh, wait, I know them. Okay, go ahead. It's going to be Yin and Yang.
Pretty close, honestly. They're okay. Essentially they're like the gods or embodiments of the Yin and the Yang. Okay. They're Fu Shi and Yua, who played pivotal roles in bringing harmony to the primordial world. So the descriptions of the primordial world in Chinese mythology, as found in texts like Classics of Mountains and Seas, also known as the Shanhai Jing, and the Huainanxi, those are like the two primary sources for a lot of Chinese myth, and like will be the primary sources for this episode, like people's translations of those works.
Okay. I was just thinking about this last. We have this game where we have the people in Lore Boys Prime guest loser titles. And last week I threw a curveball by going on Ethan's week and also doing a 40K episode. Yeah. Now Ethan follows up with like a real world history one. Yeah. They're going to be losing their minds. They're not going to know what the hell to get.
That is a thought too. I was like, it's a blessing that it came out on a Tuesday because they only have to lose their minds for like, what, 12 hours until the episode comes out?
Yeah.
The actual thought, I was like, man, if it had actually come out, like if the loser titles had actually come out on Monday, I might have had to just step in and be like, guys, don't even try and guess. You're never going to get it.
Yeah, it's although, less than 9 hours, actually.
Although, to be fair, I posted a picture of Xin Chang, the headless goblin, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, in the lore request channel and said, lore on this guy win. So somebody could get it.
They could, yeah.
That's fair enough. I am going to be one of these primordial Chinese gods and bring balance to the Lore Boys universe next week. I will be doing something predictable.
Sorta.
Yeah.
Games
Jamie's mom rented from Blockbuster by Pete, dude. I'm gonna do it.
I'm still into it. So like if you do Banjo-Kazooie, could you imagine? The primordial world is often described as having, you know, these mythical landscapes, divine beings walking all over the place and kind of just like raw cosmic forces.
Is it Banjo and Kashui, like with an X in there? Are those the Chinese gods?
Banjo, Kashui. While there might not be a singular detailed account of what this primordial world looked like, some generalized descriptors you can have is state of chaos, formlessness, devoid of structured order that defines the world we know, time before the establishment of the cosmic order and the emergence of distinct forms and entities. Elemental forces such as water, fire, earth, and air are often integral to the descriptions. They're usually in their raw, undifferentiated states, embodying the foundational elements from which the world is shaped.
Cool. Bunch of elements spinning all up with all matter. It's just a big old primordial soup at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. A couple divine beings walking around.
Those are the same four magic schools in Wolong Fallen Dynasty, which is the Sekiro-like based on Chinese mythology. There's only the four magic schools, and there's like fire affinity, earth, wind, and water affinities that you can spec into for like healing, defense, fire, and status or whatever, right?
Healing, defense, fire, and air.
Yeah, well, fire is just a DPS, right? Like, I think the only game I've ever played that's done something interesting with like a fire class, the Pyromancer in Outriders, was basically your ice class, because the only way to freeze an enemy was to encase them in magma. So like the ice mage and the fire like dots mage was the same guy in that one, basically, which was pretty cool.
Interesting.
You said magma. It made me think of one reel and then it made me think of another reel, which is there's these beds for earthquakes. Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever you're laying on your bed, there's basically like a coffin underneath your mattress. And whenever an earthquake happens, the doors open really quickly and they drop you in there and it closes and you're in a steel box with 10 days of food and water.
Wouldn't you be worried about
10 days of food and water under your bed?
They managed to fit it in a thing that you can't even sit up in. Like
my pantry's pretty small. I probably have enough room under my bed to fit my pantry.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. You having to go through like your fucking MREs and your canned rations, eating them on your back. Like what? The fucking rescue workers, the FEMA guys, are gonna dig you out, and you're just gonna be like covered in beans. Just like God help.
I would never have a good night's sleep because I would constantly feel like that's gonna open up and swallow me, and then there's gonna be no like the landline out or whatever is not gonna work, and there wasn't an earthquake, so no one's gonna come looking.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna suffocate.
It's too scary, man. I think I would rather
10 days of peas under her mattress.
Yeah. And well, that too, like I didn't seem like there was a hole on the bottom for whenever you were doing your pee and your 10 days in the box, right? Like, it would be a very slow Titanic situation of your room filling with water.
Why did they make it watertight?
Yeah,
no oxygen either.
Yeah.
10 days of food, 3 hours of air. We're still hashing it out.
Yeah, it's for those gluttonous Americans.
Yeah.
If you eat all McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be the perfect bed for the primordial world. If it was only Earth, the only element that we had to worry about. But unfortunately, right, there's fire, water, and air also that we got to worry about. Right?
How are we going to get air into there? How are we
going to get water out?
Water out.
Are we going to keep fire
above,
snuggly,
not under?
Snugly cozied up around it. Keep me warm and toasty, but not too hot.
Like that really, that smiley fire that makes the eggs in that anime. Have you ever seen that?
House Moving Castle. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
That's oh, right.
Voiced by Billy Crystal. great movie. I watched that like 3 weeks ago.
I always just see whenever people are talking about like really good eggs or food that looks good in anime, it's that like smiley little fire and he's cooking up those smiley little eggs.
That's a great movie. Yeah, I'd recommend it. So the classic mountain and sea is one of the sources for all these myths. It describes mythical landscapes and regions within the primordial world. These might include fantastical mountains, rivers, territories inhabited by divine beings, mythical creatures, often carrying symbolic and cosmological significance. So you'll often hear, you know, one story about one being from this place, which like the earth is tied to, you know, some energy or some emotion or personality, you know, whereas fire is tied to another.
Impulsivity.
Sure. Usually in the same breath, like for every like negative emotion, there's like the same handful of positive emotions too, right? Where it might also be
decisive.
Passion. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Water would be fluid, flexible, form. Fuck. I don't know.
It's the P emotion.
True. Bing chilling. Without water, there is no Bing chilling.
I don't know what Bing chilling is. You said you've seen it. I played along for the bit, but I don't know what it. I don't know what that is.
I'm surprised you dodged.
It's
that
a John
one.
Cena bit. Yeah.
There's like John Cena, and he's eating an ice cream cone, and he's talking in Chinese about
fluent Chinese. Yeah,
he's fluent. Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah, Mandarin, and he keeps saying Bing chilling because that's what ice cream is in Mandarin.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
And So he'll say the whole, you can translate the whole thing, but for a while, like probably now 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year or more ago, people would learn the whole phrase in Mandarin. I would just say it in different meme
it's
contexts.
It's a copy paste.
Yeah, exactly.
It is at this point. Yeah.
It's a meme. Yeah. I got it. So we have two beings in this primordial world, whom I mentioned before, Fuxi and Nüa. They're often depicted with serpent-like bodies, symbolizing their close connection to the cosmic forces and natural world. So usually the dragons are seen as very primordial and very natural. That's why they have those kind of serpentine bodies.
Jesus.
So there's a picture of Nüa for you guys. All the pictures are going to be in this style. Very ancient, very ancient sketchings. They're all going to be in this style.
It is a snake person, but like literally a person's head with just a snake's body coming out of where the neck should be. Like
it's very concise. It is just like, it's just, I guess like some lady's head and unaltered and an unaltered snake body. Nothing, no embellishments.
No.
Yeah. No notes.
She doesn't even have a nose piercing.
It's true.
Yeah, so
the tree looks cool.
I mean, this one is apparently from like 70 strong. Not even that old, honestly. Wow. I could have more perspective than that, probably. But yeah, it's a drawing that you or I could draw. Whoever's listening, you could get pretty close to this thing.
What if you were like, and then here's the version from 2023, and it's just exactly this picture, but real, like a woman's face and a snake coming.
Just AI art.
Yes, it still somehow has fucked up hands because it's AI art.
It's like whenever they like Photoshop animals to look like when kids drew them or whatever. Like,
oh, haunts. Yeah. I love those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's just a different picture of Nüa, I suppose.
It's more of a female spirit in this one with a little bit more snake. I feel the other one, she's just only a head. This one, she has arms and stuff.
Yeah, she's got arms. She's holding like a conch shell or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Coming out of a coral reef.
I thought she was wrapped around like flaming rocks or something. She was also kind of on fire. She has arms, but her shoulders are just at her chin. So like she's kind of like scrunched up, like she's falling, and then she has a burning snake body. I think at least.
So in a divine union, Fuxi and Nüa came together to bring about cosmic order. This union symbolizes the harmonious interaction, Jamie, between the yin and the yang. The dualistic principles that govern the balance of the universe in Chinese philosophy.
Yeah, it's like when you first put all the puzzle pieces out and you're going to do a new puzzle, you got to like organize all the pieces and stuff.
Yeah,
imagine doing that for all the elements in the whole universe, man. Yeah. Yeah, all the fires got to go to the top right. We're going to put all the water there. Earth here. That would take forever, man.
We throw the box away when organizing the universe. It's more fun that way.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I finish... cover. Yeah, when I finish organizing my universe, I frame it and put it on the wall.
Yes.
It's a little tacky to do these days, but yeah.
So the partnership between these two represents the marriage of complementary forces, essential for the creation and sustenance of the cosmos. So I have a quote for you guys from the Huai Nanxi.
As translated by fluent Chinese?
As translated by Major et al, if you'd let me finish.
I was hoping he was just going to do a John Cena.
Yeah, what was it? Bing chilling.
Yeah, I brought up the lyrics if you want them.
Oh yeah, sure. That would have been good if I had just hit you with those. If I had had those lyrics prepared, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'll put them there in case, but they're too much for me to challenge.
I can't. I can't read that. That's like Chinese.
It completely is. Yeah.
I don't know. It's all Greek to me, man. So a quote from the Huai Nanxi. In ancient times, Gonggong and Zhuhanzhu fought, each seeking to become the Thearch. Enraged, they crashed against the Mount Bozhu, Heaven's pillars broke, the cords of Earth snapped. Heaven tilted in the northwest, and thus the sun and moon, stars and planets shifted in that direction. Earth became unfull in the southeast, and thus the watery floods and mounding soils subsided in that direction. So what we have here is we have two gods, Gonggong and Zhuanshu, who fight. Zhuanshu specifically was like a human, and again, he's one of these, like one of these divine mortals, it seems like to me anyway. Again, this is ninth level Chinese mythology, so don't at me if I'm wrong about that. He was definitely a human, more like a god emperor or something like that. Ends up fighting with this Chinese water god known as Gonggong, and I'll send you guys a picture of him. If it looks like an old classic, it's just let me know, I guess.
It's just another face on a snake, but yeah, not enough of these faces on these goddamn snakes. Yeah.
But he's got horns this time. He's more aggressive looking than the other one.
Yeah, so again, the snake body does seem to represent like a connection to natural forces. My take on like them looking like the Chinese dragons is that the Chinese dragons control. I don't know if that second half is true at all, but that's my take on it. They're fighting. They crash into this mountain, Mount Buzhu, which had these pillars which were supporting heaven above the earth. those pillars broke. The cords of earth snapped.
That's a paradise bearing pole. Careful with that one. holds up the heavens, yeah.
So heaven tilted in the northwest, and thus the sun and moon and stars and planets shifted in that direction. It seems to be that that's like the canonical reason for why the stars move west to east is because... Right. Because of the way Earth fell whenever this happened, basically.
So heaven just got shifted like off balance?
Heaven started to fall and Earth got shifted off balance, essentially. Earth started to fall as well. There's like these...
Eric Clapton's kid falls out of a building in heaven back down to Earth.
It falls up the stairs to Earth now? I don't know. The stairway to Earth?
I was gonna say credit to these ancient like mythology writers here, because like obviously ancient peoples, you know, do deserve a hell of a lot of credit. The east to west and west to east of like the stars and the sun, I was like, were they good enough to calculate or figure out at least that the Earth's axis was tilted as well?
Right? Yeah, well, they do say the northwest specifically, right? Like it tilted towards the northwest, not the west. So like they do see that it's kind of. Like in when you're in the northern hemisphere, it doesn't go directly west, right? It doesn't wheel directly west. It kind of spins in the sky. And that was kind of their reasoning for that, too. They say that the Earth fell towards the southeast because all the rivers run southeast. Or not all the... I should not say all the rivers run southeast. A lot of major rivers at the time were seen to flow southeast. And they
every river like, in China flows to the southeast, obviously. Yeah, exactly.
They never turn. They're all straight as arrows.
I saw a cool trick for telling what's due north. If as long as you have sunlight, is you can put a stick in the ground and like just make a mark where the tip of the stick's shadow is, and then wait 15 minutes and then make a mark at the tip of where that stick's shadow is. The same stick, it doesn't move. That line points east west, so you make a perpendicular line, and that's north south.
Oh, cool.
So if you're ever lost and the sun's out, you can at least find northeast, southwest.
If you're currently lost in rural China
and all you have is a podcast, a lore voice.
It could happen to you. I just thought this was like a cool little like you say, Peter, like credit to ancient people, like all mythology and all religion was at some point just a way of describing the world around us, which we had no language or understanding to describe, right?
Yeah.
So this is just more of that, and I always think it's super cool to see.
Our current science communicators are terrible, because Neil deGrasse Tyson does not have a snake body.
If Neil deGrasse Tyson told me that this snake with a face fought a man, and they crashed into a mountain, and that broke heaven, and that's why the stars wheel the way that they do, I'd be so fucking... You know what I mean?
Like, Neil deGrasse Tyson just tweets once a year about what it's like.
It's not real.
No, to kiss yourself in the mirror, exactly. He keeps posting about kissing yourself in the mirror, the same tweet over and over again.
So we've got a bit of turmoil with the heaven falling and Earth getting a little out of whack. And it's amidst this turmoil that Nüwa would fix things. So she represents like the order between her and Fushi. She's kind of like the order of things, whereas he's more the chaos. So she sets about to fix the pillars. But like any good RPG, first she needs to go on a quest to collect the necessary gear, right?
RPG.
Of course. Yeah.
So first fetch quest is you got to find the 5 colored stones before you're ready to fix them, basically. Each stone represented one of the fundamental elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. With those in hand, Nuwa was able to harness the power of all 5 elements and use that power to repair the sky. Cut off the legs of the great Commodore Turtle, AO, an old favorite here on the Lore Boys, and we've talked about before. I can post you guys another picture of what AO looks like.
Do you think a steamboat is all the elements captured into one? Because you've got the fire, water, metal, wood.
No, earth. Oh, coal.
Metal, coal. Air. Yeah, coal. Yeah. Yeah.
What about air, though?
Okay, so the...
Steam's
kind of right.
Yeah, it's water, air, vapor.
The pressure water. Is the thing that rotates the turbine and then turns the screws.
And which one's the last airbender? That's the steamboat captain.
The
Avatar has to go down with the ship, obviously.
Yes, of course. Oh, speaking of Avatar, the big turtle is an Avatar and Stephen King.
So I mean, a lot of
ancient
natives too. Yeah.
Natives.
We've talked about. I think we've probably shared this picture of the world turtle before. Like AO being as a name is also like the D&D original god. The original creator was like AO. Like it's a very, again, this is something that is very heavily referenced throughout all kind of media.
It's just someone trying to say air who can't pronounce it properly.
Yeah.
Ale. I love it.
When you hear you say air, air.
You feel the wind in the ale? I feel wind.
Feel the wind.
So I have another quote for you guys. Going back to more ancient times, the 4 pillars were broken. The 9 provinces were in tatters. Heaven did not completely cover the earth. Earth did not hold up heaven all the way around its circumference. Fires blazed out of control and could not be extinguished. Water flooded in great expanses and would not recede. Ferocious animals ate blameless people. Predatory birds snatched the elderly and the weak. Thereupon...
Only the people are blameless in all of this.
Yeah. The elderly and the weak are full of blame. So we're not going to lump them in with the ferocious animals eating them. Thereupon, Nuwa smelted together 5 colored stones in order to patch up the azure sky, cut off the legs of the great turtle to set them up as the 4 pillars, killed the black dragon to provide relief for G province, and piled up reeds and cinders to stop the surging waters. The azure sky was patched, the 4 pillars were set up, the surging waters were drained, the province of G was tranquil, crafty vermin died off, blameless people preserved their lives. So
crafty vermin and blameless people.
Obviously translations, right? Like blameless people, probably we would say innocent people. The in innocent. This day and age. Yeah, exactly.
And crafty vermin just means Americans.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love the idea that she just like cut the legs off this world turtle, which was like supporting Earth. It's like they need to support heaven on top of Earth, and they have a turtle supporting the earth underneath them. They're like, we'll cut its legs off and we'll put them on top to support heaven now.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want it wandering off otherwise. Who knows where the earth is going to end up?
All of existence is just such a Jenga tower, like ready to fall over, isn't
right?
it?
Like, yeah. I guess it's worth calling out too. Like, I'm telling like plenty of stories here. There's like a ton of sources over all like 4,500 years, right? So, like, a lot of Greek mythology too, you'll hear like one character doing like 2 different stories, which like he dies in this story and then like is just back whatever during another time. Like all this applies to AO is still around in Chinese mythology for like, you know, thousands of more years. It's said to be carrying these 3 islands on its back, not necessarily the earth of the 8 immortals, which are some figures in Chinese mythology. So everything I say, I mean, don't count anyone out until we're done.
From the picture that we have, there's a turtle and then there's 4 elephants holding up what is the earth that's only a semicircle above them.
It's a dome earth, yeah.
Yeah. So the inside of the earth is filled with elephant farts in Chinese mythology.
It's like captured.
Yeah, exactly. That's what keeps them floating up and not falling down.
That's what's causing global warming. It's not my private plane flights.
It's China and the damn elephant farts, man.
The damn elephant farts.
I I've seen the numbers. They're most China's a big contributor, and I think their elephants have are the problem.
But. Yeah. All that coal that they buy from British Columbia.
So we were talking about Nüwa. We'll talk about Fuxi. Fuxi, refreshingly, seems to take a backseat to Nüwa, his wife. By some accounts, they were like husband and wife. His part to play in a lot of the mythos seems to be primarily that he helped Nüwa create humanity. There's also plenty of stories, like I was just saying, where they weren't the ones who created humanity. There's some thought that it was Pangu, a primordial being.
Newt, my guys.
And God saith unto Pangu, Newt, Newt.
And to all the good Newt.
He's this primordial being of creation. Some people say that he was the one to kind of kick off humans and create the earth. So I got another quote for you guys here. In the beginning, there was nothing, and the universe was in a featureless, formless primordial state. This primordial state coalesced into a cosmic egg for about 18,000 years. So take another drink. I think cosmic eggs at the beginning of the universe is something that we can say take a drink for at this point.
I'll drink for whatever, man.
Yeah, it's close enough to a magic rock.
Exactly. It's not the first time we've talked about primordial cosmic egg. So, within it, the perfectly opposed principles of yin and yang became balanced, and Pangu emerged or woke up from the egg. Pangu is usually depicted as a primitive hairy giant who has horns on his head. I did share a picture with you guys. Pangu began creating the world. He separated yin from yang with a swing of his giant axe, creating the earth, murky yin, and the sky, clear yang. To keep them separated, Pangu stood between them and pushed up the sky. With each day, the sky grew 10 feet higher and the earth 10 feet thicker and Pangu 10 feet taller. This task took another 18,000 years. Just in some versions of the story, Pangu is aided in this task by the four holy beasts, the turtle, the Kilin, the phoenix, and the dragon. Thought that was cool. He's got.
Hell yeah.
Kilin is probably a horse, right? Or like a unicorn?
The Kilin is like, yeah, it's looks like a it's in Harry Potter, I know that. And it's like
they have a misspelled or mistranslated version of that in Monster Hunter, and it's Kirin. The L and the R switch, but it's like a lightning unicorn in Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Kirin. It does have a single horn, I know that. I don't know if it's more horse or like deer, but it's like some kind of four legged beast of burden ish kind of thing. After the 18,000 years had elapsed, Pangu died. His breath became the wind, mist, and clouds, his voice, thunder, his left eye, the sun, his right eye, the moon, his head, the mountains and extremes of the world, his blood, rivers, his muscles, fertile land, his facial hair, the stars and Milky Way, his fur, bushes, and forests, his bones, valuable minerals, his bone marrow, precious jewels, his sweat, rain, and the fleas on his fur carried by the wind became animals. So this guy did it all. You know what I mean? This guy one day, like, set out into the world, said, like, I'm going to make a sky and an earth with my axe. I'm going to cut all of everything into two parts. He's going to take the puzzle of all existence and put it into two distinct piles, yin and yang. And then he is going to get underneath the yang, the clear sky, and just push it up for 18,000 years and keep growing with it while he's pushing it up, essentially. And when he's done that, he's going to up and die, create everything.
That's right. That's fitness goals, dude. Right
there. Wow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like, how does it create everything when he's done? Because when he dies, the yang falls down into the yin and then smashes all together and creates what we know? Or, like, how does separating it create what we know? I don't get that part.
I don't know. It's all, like, interpretive, man.
Yeah.
Take that for what you want. Like, when he creates everything, his breath becomes the wind, mist and clouds, voice thunder. All that stuff. His bones, valuable minerals, right?
That's true. That is how bodies work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, I love the idea that his head becomes like the mountains, and it's like, there's just mountains everywhere in China. So it's like, how is his one head all the mountains, you know?
That's true.
Doesn't need to make sense. But
if you go to China and you sell some of your spinal fluid, you can make a lot of money because they're going to turn that into gems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's true.
His bone that marrow, sounds like a jewels. Rumor that Marco Polo brought back to Europe, dude.
I mean, yeah, that sounds like a rumor that like some people who are on certain forums on the internet these days would believe. Like
the Chinese are stealing your bone marrow to turn it into diamonds.
It's a lie. You can sell your spinal fluid for a lot of money, but I don't think the Chinese are. Well, I don't know that the Chinese are turning it into gems.
So, yeah, I don't know that they're not.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know that reminds me. I'm just saying, there's two sides to every story.
Yeah. During on the subject of idiotic rumors that people would believe, during the peak of Stop the Steal, some of those crazy people were testing ballots for bamboo fiber because China's air is so saturated with bamboo that their phony ballots would have trace amounts of bamboo.
Oh. That's so insane, man. I don't know. Where do you even buy a bamboo fiber test? You know what I mean?
They're just like free at the pharmacy, right? Like COVID is still going around. You can get a test. And like for election fraud season, which is in the fall, you can just go get a bamboo fiber test to make sure your ballots
are legit. Snake oil salesmen just fucking have been cleaning up for fucking 8 years now, eh? It's unbelievable.
In America, totally.
Infinite rubes. An unending supply of rubes.
And America totally like influences like other governments' elections and stuff.
We got our own Freedom Convoy, and I blame America for that.
We don't get hamburger on the ballots. You do it online through misinformation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't test for bamboo. Anyway,
you can't test a tweet for bamboo fibers is all I'm saying.
Right? Exactly.
So, whichever you believe, that Snake Lady shaped the earth with her husband, or my man Pangu lifted up the sky until he died. After the break, we're going to talk about some humans that have to live in this world.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It is said in Chinese myth that all people share one common ancestor, Chuanyuan Huangdi, or the Yellow Emperor. Guys, hold your laughter, please. The first ruler of lands that would later become China, his reign began in 2697 BCE when he united the tribes of the Yellow River Plain under a single government. It's named after the river, not the people. Okay, I'm gonna say Yellow Emperor a lot. I know you guys a little. We're gonna nip that one in the butt.
I think all emperors are cowards. That's why.
The
Yellow Bellied Emperor.
Yes, exactly.
So the Yellow Emperor was the child of Fuxi and Yue, and is credited with being the creator of a slew of things. Whether or not he was the child of Fuxi and Yue, who knows? Again, some tales have them as much more like humans, where they created people from yellow clay. Others have Yue as kind of snake lady. It's all a bit of a mess when you go back to 2697 BCE, right?
I mean, you're some kind of creator god. You're like, what if our son was perfect? What if the Yellow Emperor that we create had four snake tails? And at the end, five smaller snake tails yet more at the end there. And that's how they kind of came to the creation of the human form as we know it.
Uh-huh, John Cena was made out of Bing Chilling, vanilla, of course.
That's true.
The vanilla river, which also runs through China.
The vanilla only runs through Madagascar, but... this is your boy. This is the Yellow Emperor. So
he's black here.
Chuanyuan Huangdi. So this is a carving on a second century tomb.
Was this a relief of
which
it?
Exactly. Somebody took the relief of it. Basically, the Yellow Emperor. There was a bas relief on a tomb, and there was an inscription under it which says. The Yellow Emperor created and changed a great many things. He invented weapons and the well field system. He devised upper and lower garments and established palaces and houses.
He invented pants?
Right? Pants and shirts.
Yo.
I was, gonna comment on his shirt. Look how friggin' wide those sleeves are.
It looks comfy. I like the picture that he has like a bunch of cotton stuffed in there, and so he can just like throw himself around and feel good all the time. Or maybe he's just very strong with small hands.
Man, yeah. You haven't slept until you've gone to an opium den and slept in a robe full of cotton. that's relaxation.
That's luxury.
Right? Yeah. No opium yet, right? That comes later.
Does it come later?
Well, it's the
from the British.
The British introduce it, right? So.
Oh, is that what happened?
The Yellow Emperor created the British.
I always thought the Chinese found opium first because it was more popular there than here. But I guess it was just one of those British, like, give you measles kind of thing.
I think the British were harvesting it from, like, ye olde Afghanistan.
And yeah, the Mediterranean, I think, is where it comes
shipping
from.
Shipping it down the Silk Road. And from poppies. Ship. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then people just got super fucking addicted to it. But it was like the British's plan to get people so whacked out and turn them into junkies so that they couldn't resist when they were taking over chunks of China and Hong Kong still.
Yeah. Wow. Well, not still.
Well, not still. That's true. That did not go well, actually.
Those were the better days for drug use. Because opium's bad and it'll make you lay around a whole bunch, but it's not going to kill you like fentanyl or something.
So they,
right?
they did not have opium, but they did have marijuana. We'll get into the marijuana.
Oh, hell yeah!
All right,
it's deified too. Let's go.
Pretty much, yeah. So on top of all those things that pants, shirts, etc., he's got credit for the lunar calendar, so like the Chinese calendar, Taoism, the religion or philosophy, I guess. Wooden houses, boats, carts, the compass needle, the earliest forms of writing, civilization, and all of its benefits. And even an early game of soccer is Kuchiku. He invented soccer, Kuchiku.
And they did the chasing and tickling game.
Yeah, they didn't actually have a ball in those days. They just had one tiny man that both players had to tickle into the other team's goal.
Stop it.
Okay, that's the episode art, right?
I need to get that line, that like ink line art.
We've talked about this before, and I do remember which one we are, but do you remember 1991 in the lunar calendar, what animal we would have been?
Goat. You're the goat, yeah.
We're the goat. And do you know what it's like a something goat. Do you know what the thing before goat is? For our year specifically?
No.
It's a metal goat.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
We're cool. Metal goats, dude. Cool. Imagine ramming our horns right into...
outside of the steamship, baby.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously, the Zodiac is all encompassed within the steamship.
The metal goat the metal goat goes down with the steamship. Dude. He's the avatar.
Under the influence of the metal element, people born as metal goats are kind-hearted, strong-minded, determined, and disciplined. I was going to throw in a dumb one at the end there.
Damn, that's exactly us, though. You guys ever thought about it? Damn, that describes us perfectly.
Especially while putting this show together.
Yeah, right? Super disciplined. Yep.
Determined,
super kind of
strong-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the curls right now in my head. You wouldn't even know.
That's how you get real smart. Is think about exercise.
Strong mind, dumb brain. Right.
Yeah.
So the biggest credit to his name is surely the creation of Chinese society and civilization. Oh, and pants is a close number two, I think. But we're going to give it to civilization more broadly.
Well, you know, they kept pants beyond Mao's Cultural Revolution, so you know that shit's
happened. Exactly, right? So, yeah, this is kind of the birth of this idea of theocracy and having these thearchs ruling over China and the idea that, like, the emperors were placed there by divine right and they were, you know, gods in some sense.
A lot of like giant civilizations have their deified creator, right? Like the a more Western one that we're probably familiar with is like Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome, right? Which is a similar thing. They, of course, were raised by like a wolf in the mountains or whatever. But
yeah, and it's one of those things. Like if I put on my smart or weak mind, smart brain hat,
if you imagine a bicep flexing, right?
Yeah, exactly. If I stop imagining a bicep flexing, so I can actually. Yeah, so I can actually think. I would say, like, it's probably these are probably all tools to like keep the powerful people in place, right? So like one of the sources which I referenced, the Huainanzi is like specifically designed as like a guidebook for like new rulers to like look at, and this is how you should like rule by, essentially. And like there is some good practice in there. A lot of the, you know, a lot of it does seem to be like for the betterment of the Chinese people, and like there does seem to be strong belief that like there's a lot of responsibility for the empire and the emperors to do good for their people. That said, they're still filthy fucking rich and taking all the resources, right?
The beshirted man chosen by God.
Yeah,
but yeah, exactly. There is like more collectivism and like different thoughts, like about like when you'd order food as a family in China, you wouldn't think to just order your own plate and do it, right? Yeah, you would like, you order for the table and everything. I wanted to say, we were talking about like a god that, like basically it's an emperor god or whatever. In Darktide, which is one of the Warhammer 40K games, I've been playing it recently, and in the loading screen, there's quotes that it seems to read from like scripture to the emperor. But I was just in my room and I had like a particularly long loading screen and I was a little bit stoned and I'm just like laying on my bed playing Darktide and I start reading the quotes like full volume. And I didn't realize people were smoking right outside my window. So I'm just laying in my bed like going like, only in death does duty end. Praise be the emperor. Rejoice in thy service. Seek for yourself a death worthy of remembrance. Smite all who would besmirch you. And like, I'm just saying this shit. And I was role playing in my head being a big emperor guy. But to them, I seem like a wacky guy.
But you're,
you're getting a wellness check in 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's like 192 different quotes that it just randomly goes through. And I rarely see the same one. So they're fun to read. But
I got to say, getting caught with that level of embarrassment is like, that's pretty bad. Getting caught with that level of embarrassment when you're high is like, oh, fuck, dude. Everything's over forever.
I'm starting to get on the other side of the self-conscious shit whenever. Yeah. Like, I'm starting to get older, so now I'm just like, this is just a funny experience. Yeah, like, I'm laughing at myself, you know? Yeah.
I'm still too much a junior, I suppose, when it comes to smoking weed. But
yeah.
I got embarrassed cutting my fingernails because I thought my wife was going to wake up and get mad at being stoned by accident.
That one's kind of cute, though. You're just like, I don't want to wake up the family, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to wake up my wife, and then also I think she's gonna think that it's weird that I'm stoned, even though this happened by accident because I took some CBD oil. But I've talked about that story before, probably on a bonus. So.
Patreon.com. Get to it.
Yeah. So this is a period in history where the figures known as the Three Sovereigns and Five Emperors capitalized reigned.
Big Eight.
Yeah, exactly. Who exactly was which is still up for a lot of debate. The Yellow Emperor himself invariably makes the list, but is sometimes placed with the Sovereigns, also known as the Xian, while other times he is placed as one of the Five Emperors, usually the Patriarch of the Emperors. So important dude, no matter what.
Yeah.
The Sovereigns are said to be demigods or god kings who use their divine power to improve the lives of the Chinese people. So again, they're kind of these like very, very powerful beings who rule as god kings.
The pantheon is noticeably benevolent for the Chinese as well.
I mean it's it is this common theory that, or common belief, I think, that, you know, again it's a lot of the writing in these books is like, you should use your power for good and you should be trying to help the Chinese people and your people. That said, there's all, like, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, like there's all tribes, you know, and they are kind of going to go to war with each other, and so, because like, we're the right ones and we're following the right god king, right? Which is like still problematic in its own way, but I mean, I think like a lot of, you know, Islam and Christianity and Judaism, like if you look at certain excerpts, like a lot of it is pretty positive, you know. There's some real nasty stuff in there, but there's a lot of positive you could take out of them too. It all depends on you know, what lens you're kind of looking at it through. And I think in particular, these like primordial, like kings of civilization, like this is pre-Chinese civilization, like civilization as we would describe it does not exist at this point in China.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of these figures who are like clearly mythological, but maybe also were real, kind of like Romulus and Remus.
Or Jesus, for that matter.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like there's like this impetus to have made them seem benevolent after the fact, probably, right? Yeah. Whether or not they actually were. So
what does the world look like way back at this? Is it Chinese cavemans?
No. I mean, it's not far off, but like this guy invented wood houses, right? So,
oh, that's pretty like, intense.
There's definitely agriculture, like there's definitely farming and animal husbandry and things like that. But like this is very, very early Chinese culture for sure. Yeah, this guy is said to have invented weapons and clothes, you know. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and also wooden houses where it's just like. It's like it's the first guy to ever be like, science has gone too far, is somebody who made a brick house. It's like, no!
Exactly.
It's like he has the wooden house and then everybody else has mud houses and it rains and just everybody like for like their house melts around them, but he's okay in his house. Like,
but then a big bad wolf comes, shows up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. And then you want to be in the mud house.
Stumbling over each other to get it out first.
like piggies running away from a wolf.
James is chilling in his brick house with always like the best jokes anyways. I don't want me and Pete do this to ourselves. So most often placed in the Three Sovereigns category alongside the Yellow Emperor is Fu Shi and who we know, and Shennong, the first of the Yan emperors, who taught the ancient Chinese people not only the secrets to agriculture but also how to smoke reefer.
Oh, dude, this guy's sick, man. He's like, yo, if you put the rice in the ground, man, and you put the rice grows underwater, right?
To be honest, I don't know where the grain's at on the little thing. I know the patties are flooded.
Okay, yeah. They have to flood their fields to get all their dank weed out of it. And
that's it. Like, I know, like, cranberries aren't grown in water. They flood the field at the end to harvest, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
But I don't know if it's the same with rice.
Do they have a pot patty? Like a rice patty?
Yeah, for sure. Bro.
And they haven't invented the bong yet, so they have to flood it to get a good hit. Right?
It does sound like the Chinese invented it, though.
Probably. Honestly,
a bong? Yeah.
Honestly, very well might have. I can't say. I didn't look it up for this episode, guys, but I had to guess... Yeah, I'll look it up. Who invented the bong? If it says Chief Marin, I'll lose my mind. Bong, it's better. Bob Snodgrass.
That's you know what his strain was called, huh?
Oh man. Okay, wait a second. Bob Snodgrass, due to recent discoveries, the date of the earliest bongs go back 2,400 years.
Yeah.
So it could
before Jesus.
It could be some kind of post-wooden house, pre-brick house Chinese culture, right?
Yeah. Possible that the bong was invented in Africa or near Africa.
So Jesus could have ripped the bong?
Yes.
Oh shit, dude. Yeah, dude. That's so fucking cool. I'm a Christian.
That's sick, man, with his long hair and shit, his big like
animus, tobacco, herbal substances. Oh wait, no, it's probably an Arabic thing, actually.
Yeah, I mean it's always gonna be one of those things of like when does it become a bong, right? Like if you just move that whatever your qualifiers are, it's gonna be a different person who invented it, probably. Yeah.
I know we're off on the side here, but the last thing, it is like a Fertile Crescent thing. It is the Scythians, which are in eastern Iran. So it is a Fertile Crescent invention. So
your cat's such a star today, Ethan. And he's been going in the background a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's been walking past before. Yeah, very
cute. A chubby bastard these days.
Hey.
Pete loves to come to people's houses and call their cat fat.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love fat cats, dude.
His dad comes to your house, calls you gay. He comes in, calls your cat fat.
Exactly. Tell them Rebecca and Steve that their cat was fat, too.
I mean, that older one was a bit of a beanbag. Very cute.
Addison? Yeah, just a little bit. Wasn't too bad. Mm. Yeah, he's chunky.
He's too. What am I going to do? Put him on a diet? Listen to our bonus. They don't even work. So
Catlery's out.
In Chinese mythology, Shennong taught humans the use of the plow, aspects of basic agriculture, and the use of marijuana. Possibly influenced by the Yan Emperor mythos or the use of slash and burn agriculture, Shennong was a god of burning wind. So slash and burn agriculture is like you find a forest, you like cut it all down right before the rain season, you let it all like decompose a little, then you burn it, You cut it all down, you burn it all, you burn like everything in the field, then you let the rain kind of just like wash the nutrients into the soil,
right?
And it makes that field super fertile for like 3 to 5 years essentially. Wow. And then after 5 years, you like you go on and you find like another patch to do that with.
That's good.
And then
I was thinking back to Bob Snodgrass's invention and how it encapsulates earth, wind, air, and fire. Because you got the earth is in the belt in the bowl. It's your little leaves in there.
Okay.
And then you add the fire and you pull the air and it goes through the water and earth, wind, fire, air.
Let's groove tonight. Yeah.
So it really the bong was invented back before the universe was put together.
The ancient Iranian emperor Bob Snodgrass. familiar with.
Shenong, this god is a god of burning wind.
Bad farts, that's what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad farts.
That's too many spicy wings before bed to fix your heartburn. And all gassy. He's kind of the god king of the Yan Empire, and the Yan empires will often be led by figures known as flame emperors, just a very cool name.
Very cool.
He's the god of burning wind, and it's because of this slash and burn agriculture technique, which he's said to have taught humans, which presumably the people of the Yan Empire used as a technique.
Yeah.
He was also sometimes said to be a progenitor to or to have had as one of his ministers this figure, Qi Yu. So Qi Yu, generations later, would lead a tribe known as the Jiu Li. A Shenong emperor, Yandi, the last of the flame emperors, sometimes was thought of as Shenong, but then was voted out in 2004. A bunch of people got together and said, they're not the same person, Shenong and Yandi.
Okay.
But Yandi is an emperor, the last flame emperor, essentially, of the Yan Empire. So this guy goes to war with Shenong's old minister, Shi Yu, over some border disputes. And here's Shi Yu for you guys.
And then the Fire Nation attacked.
Yeah.
Another great relief. Oh my god, what is going on here?
it's like a bear.
It looks like a dancing Russian bear, but he's got like
a satyr or something. I don't know.
Like antenna on his head, and he looks like he's wearing like a Nike sweatband, googly eyes. A lot of these old drawings have googly eyes. Like even the picture of the guy whose name I've forgotten at this point, he has heavily cross eyes in the guy who created the earth and minerals, basically. Pengu, yeah.
Do you ever play the claw game with your left foot, though? He's definitely... Look at that claw game.
Yeah, I know.
He's got the claw from Toy Story as his left foot, and then he's holding a regular-looking sword, and then, I don't know, like, a piece of farm equipment in the other hand, which is just a thin...
He's throwing a police baton in the air.
Yeah, he's got a baton. That's
I like to think he's giving a thumbs up, and there's a trail of smoke leading up from his thumb, which is then leading to that police baton.
Oh,
I see the thumb. Yeah, all right.
He's giving tiny little thumbs up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a police baton. It's a peace pipe.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's why there's smoke.
Predates the water bong.
Yeah, exactly. Bob Snodgrass. And then yet to go on the scene.
We've just been slashing and burning our weed fields until like the Ottomans and were joined to the Chinese through the Silk Road. It's like a donkey cart full of bongs going through the Himalayas.
So fun fact about Shi Yu is that he's like referenced a lot. I did not look into him too closely because he's only here to be kind of a foil for our story today, but he is like a very commonly recurring bad guy in a lot of media. So like the Megami Tensei series, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Marvel Comics, Assassin's Creed, Jade, he's like the main antagonist is Shi Yu. In Shenmue, he's the main antagonist. There's like a bunch more.
Is Assassin's Creed Jade? Sorry, not to...
I'd never heard of it either, honestly.
Okay.
But
is Shi Yu a guy?
Yeah, he is another like god king, actually.
Okay.
So it'd be Shi Yu, he, him.
Yes, in his email signature.
Yeah, Shi Yu, he, him. Okay, got it.
It's probably XI.
Chinese people's pronouns are, I thought they were Yeah. Sorry. Oh,
God. That sounds. Yeah, someone's uncle told that one at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Right.
It was American Thanksgiving, by the way. Happy Thanksgiving. Who cares about the holiday? But glad you guys got to hang out with your family.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. To all the Americans. No one else. No one else in the world. You'll get a happy Thanksgiving from me. Nope. Okay.
Nope. We'll come and manifest destiny that Thanksgiving away from you.
Exactly. So we have the Flame Emperor, reminder, who's going to war with Chiyu, this cross-eyed guy with the claw from Toy Story as a foot.
Yeah.
Okay. Over some border disputes. Amongst the ranks of the Flame Emperor's army marching to battle, a lone soldier stood out, one known as Qing Chen. So this is our headless goblin.
Finally! Okay. I forgot that was even a part of this. Okay, cool.
So born in obscurity. We don't know too much about Qing Chen. We know he served the Flame Emperor as an official. Probably some tales also say that maybe he was his own divine being before all this. He fought for our story. He fought for the Flame Emperor as an official, and he fought so that his king might become the Supreme God. Supreme God is a lofty title for someone who essentially is going to rule over all of China. It's kind of like a translation of the big emperor, I guess.
You'll be the Supreme God in charge of this one place on this one planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. People 4,000 years ago didn't really have the scope of the earth down very good.
Yeah, exactly. For all I knew, in my weed field, on the other side of a hill that was too high to see over, monsters.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
it's all elephants and elephant farts and turtles down there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. That's the edge of the world, right? Yeah. That's what my dad told me. Don't go over that hill; you'll fall into the ocean.
Yeah. So, again, probably worth mentioning here again: Chinese rule for a long time was theocracy. So, again, the rulers are believed to be divine. So, they're kind of fighting to be the divine ruler of these people. Unfortunately, Yandi. Also known as Yuan, sorry. Or did I say Yuan earlier? Have I been saying Yuan? He's got a lot of names, this guy. Yandi, the Flame Emperor, and Qing Chen combined could not beat Chiyu. So they go to battle. They're driven back.
They did their fusion dance. They go combine together. They try and find Majin Buu, but Majin Buu is still too strong.
Yeah. Qing Chen's head was just getting in the way because he still has his head at this point. So they're driven back from fighting Chiyu, because again, this is kind of like over border disputes where Chiyu's Judy armies were kind of pushing into their land, the Shennong tribe's land, or the Yan tribe's land, until they came up against the armies of Huang Di, the Yellow Emperor. So they're kind of like on a war on one front against Chiyu. They're driven back until they run out of room at their other border. The border of the Yellow Emperor, right? And the Yellow Emperor is like, well, can't come here, bud. So in the first ever large-scale battle in Chinese history, the armies of the Yellow Emperor met the armies of Shennong in a place called the Bangquan, where they fight.
Probably last time there'll be a big war in China. Right?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
This is probably settled it once and for all, honestly.
Yeah. Isn't it a meme where it's like Chinese history? It's like, this emperor reigned, 2.3 million Chinese people died in this battle. This emperor reigned. Like, it's just crazy casualties.
It's constantly warring provinces. And the dynasties all like form and crumble and break to pieces. And then the Japanese start to invade off the coast constantly.
A lot of war.
The Japanese were the real bastards by all accounts, if you look through a lens of history. But so Yan Di was fighting Huang Di for the position of Supreme God. But he and his armies were once more not enough. They couldn't beat Chiyu. They couldn't beat the Yellow Emperor. After three battles, Yan Di surrendered leadership to Huang Di. Qing Chen, however, had no interest in peace. He challenged Huang Di himself, and it didn't really end well for him. I have a quote for you guys. Xing Qian and the supreme god Di came to this place and struggled against each other for ultimate power. The supreme god cut off Xing Qian's head and buried him at Eternally Auspicious Mountain, all caps. Xing Qian... again, it's a translation. Like this is like how a Chinese person would name their mountain, but
all saying it in English. It's a nice touch. Eternally Auspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I should say all capitalized, not all caps. Sorry, but okay. Like it's a
mountain. Okay.
I am not saying it's an eternally auspicious mountain. I am saying it is named Eternally Auspicious Mountain.
No, right. that much I gather, but I also understand how it's like it's run through the Google Translate because again, you have
or a real translator, but.
Yeah, but we have like more Western like mountains like Olympus, which is way easier to pronounce and translate because like our Western language comes from a more
Latinized,
right?
So Xing Qian's nipples then transformed into his eyes and his navel became a mouth. He performs a dance with an axe and a shield.
I forgot who we're talking about. Of course that happened. Of course.
In his drawing, are his nipples crossed too?
So I have two drawings of Xing Qian for you. I'll share the first one, which is very similar to the one that you guys have already seen, which you guys can go ahead and describe for the listeners at home, I suppose.
Let's see it.
He's so good.
It just makes so much sense that there should be a face on a belly, you know?
I love how much work went into the background of this photo. Because again, it's just the white sheet with the black ink. Like the very kind of scratchy Chinese style. The rocks, the moss, the water, everything looks incredible. And then, Jamie, if you want to carry on.
There's a headless figure with an axe and shield. And with no head, there's just like no neck either. Because on all the face you need is on the chest. So like the eyes are nipples. The nose is like a bulge where like your sternum would be sort of. And then they're wearing like a grassy pelt to cover their genitals. You could
his
suck
pubes,
your
I think.
Own dick so easy if you were this guy.
Well, could you?
I mean,
you touch your belly button. Can you touch your belly button with an erection? I don't know.
Could you? Yeah.
I think this is more a matter of length than it is flexibility. Now,
Marilyn
point,
Manson had his head removed so that he could suck his own dick. Right?
Yeah. And also, if you have a bit of a stomach, that means your mouth would be farther out, too. So you'd have an issue with curving back.
Yeah,
I was just doing the math for myself here.
You gotta do the
can you imagine as he gains weight, his mouth gets further and further out?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I only ate more, so I'm closer to kissing you. That's why.
I love the big voluptuous lips on this drawing too.
Yeah, it's kind of coy. I feel like that face knows something that I don't. You know, look.
But it knows how to suck its own dick, Jamie. That's what
I love. Okay, I'll give you guys three pictures of Xing Qian because so Xing Qian is in Smite, the MOBA game where you play as like various gods. He's like a playable character.
Oh yeah, okay.
I just love that they do make him look like it's a cool enough design or whatever, like if a little stereotypical. They give him a helmet, which I think is weird considering he doesn't have a head, but then he has like a big demon face on his kind of body. But I love the juxtaposition of like those two photos of it being like so edgy and trying to be so cool, and then just this like this happy guy frolicking and dancing in a meadow by a river with his axe and his shield and his stupid face.
Glowing eyes emerging from rippling pectorals, and then it's just like, oh, I know how to suck my own dick.
And he dances. His whole thing is that he's like always dancing, essentially.
Wow.
That's
so the dance he does is one of defiance towards Huang Di. He's like, ha, he didn't kill me, basically. He was decapitated. His head was buried under a mountain, but pure spite allowed him the strength to turn his nipples into eyes and his belly button into a mouth.
Imagine him doing the worm.
he could use his tongue to help out, honestly.
True.
Okay,
do you think
okay.
As a prank when he hugs people, do you think he like blows a raspberry on their stomach?
When I'm pranking people, I don't let somebody blow a raspberry on my stomach.
If he spills misses his mouth, he burns his penis whenever he's drinking coffee.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's right underneath there. You don't have that chest or stomach area to catch.
Just thinking about the Bond villain. He just like rotates in his chair and he's just, like sipping tea directly into his stomach.
I like this guy a lot.
Okay,
he inspired an entire episode, right?
That's great. But here's my actual favorite picture of him. Okay, I hit the wrong enter. So that was him in the forest, presumably dancing where he lives. Here is him, like just terrorizing like a group of like people, I guess. Like just people hanging out.
This is like a 19th century photo. Like some of these people are like visibly British. Like there's a guy wearing like an Argyle vest in the background.
To me, it's just like a little goblin. Yeah. Like the British have come to China to sell us opium, and there's just this little headless goblin running around, causing a muckus.
This one doesn't have a nose.
I didn't realize how much smaller he is than just like an average human next to him. Like not even with the head. Yeah. Like even if he had his head, he'd come up to your waist.
But yeah, no, okay, like he's coming up to their knees almost in this picture. And like, again, like there's probably a million depictions of him. He's very common in a lot of Chinese poetry, like to this day, because he's kind of he's like a good symbol of like, don't let the world get you down. He perseveres despite having his head cut off and buried under a mountain by the god emperor. You know, he's still
terrorize the British. Don't
you
worry.
You two can still frolic and terrorize the British.
He reminds me of like a Roblox character on his face. Like, have you seen the Roblox mug?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or
sure.
Whatever. Yeah. Like this character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I tell you what, he is going to make an excellent soccer ball for our episode right now.
So under the guidance of Huan Di, who wasn't about to be dissuaded by a face on a torso, the two tribes formed an alliance, creating the Yan Huang tribe. This new tribe soon drew the envy of Xi Yu, who attacked Shennong territories again. The combined Yan Huang tribe met the Juli tribe in the Battle of Zhuolu, and they were ready. While they initially suffered some losses due to the fog, Huang Di, our yellow emperor, busted out his latest invention, okay? Guy went full Edison on him. Combined, he took a cart, wagon, and a compass. You put them together. What do you get?
Cart. Wait, let me think about this. Cart.
Like a GPS, kind of.
You get
a cart, a wagon, and a compass. You get a self-driving car.
Pretty much. So you got what was called the South Pointing Chariot. Is a war wagon, which would protect their soldiers. So it's kind of just like a covered wagon that the soldiers could walk under to protect them from like arrow fire.
Okay, cool.
But there was a ton of fog like in this area of China and during this time. So they would like get lost, essentially. So this cart was built with a pointer that would always point south for them. So they would always be able to orient themselves based on where it was pointing.
On purpose?
No, orient does come from that, like from the cardinal points.
Did that on purpose? I didn't even know. I was like, what did I do on purpose?
Replaying Battleshock Infinite or whatever, they're like, yeah, the mysteries of the Orient and all this stuff. So it's fresh in my mind.
Fresh in your mind, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so it's basically a wagon with a pointer that would always point south.
Cool.
This is about 2,200 years before the invention of the magnetic compass, which was invented in Han, China.
Wow.
While it probably didn't work very great, this device, it's essentially like they would calibrate it on the wagon, and then they would have this pointer affixed to the wheels so that when the wheels turned like a fixed degree, the pointer would turn like a fixed degree to keep pointing south, essentially.
Wow.
So like if the wheels ever skipped or whatever, like it would get off calibrate, like it would get uncalibrated. And like I say, it probably didn't work pretty well. But
yeah,
the fact that it was
there's no rocks on the way south.
Yeah, exactly.
This sounds like one of those made up things. Like, you know, the lighter was invented before the matches.
Yeah.
Like the GPS car was invented before the compass. You know. Yeah.
The GPS was invented before the Orient.
I like that. Yeah, it's
because ultimately the Yan Huang tribe was victorious and Qi Yu was killed. The Yan Huang tribe then could expand eastwards without hindrance and soon formed what became to be known as the Hua Xia civilization, the precursor of the Han Chinese civilization. To this day, Chinese people still call themselves the descendants of Yan and Huang.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, I know the Han Chinese are like a particular group of people with like within the country as well, in the same way you'd have like Scottish or Irish as
The Han civilization or Han Chinese civilization came after the Huaxia civilization, which was this, these people became the Yanhuang, became the Huaxia, and when their emperor's reign essentially ended, the Han dynasty took over. Mm. So
Han
very,
Solo.
Very ancient.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You got to encase him in magma. You got to use the fire attack. You can't use the ice attack for him.
Yes. No, that's right. That's right.
So yeah, thanks so much for listening. That's been our grade 9 intro to, this is our grade 9 book report on Chinese mythology, I guess. Yeah,
that was cool. I really enjoyed that one, Ethan. That was fun.
I hope you enjoyed it at home. If you want to support the show or help us out in any way, the best way to do so is to leave a review on your podcast app of choice or to tell your friends. Help us grow. Let's get new members. We really appreciate everyone who's done so much for us already. Everyone turning up, putting in the work, moderating our friggin' Discord server for us, Dave.
I probably put in an extra 20 hours of gaming this week because I was able to replace my PC parts and stuff thanks to some of you folks and stuff. Putting a lot more into the show.
Yeah. So Jamie, what do you want to talk about
this week? I am thankful for anyone who donates to our Patreon and anyone.
I'm thankful for that too.
I've been having a good time on Discord. That's where you can find us. Now that I've got a second screen, I'll be able to track you guys even easier. So if you get into the Discord, it's discord.gg/loreboys, L-O-R-E-B-O-Y-S. And there's a lot of folks in there. I saw this week, I renamed one of the chats, voice chats, of Dwarves Mining, because people are playing Deep Rock Galactic in there, having a good old time.
Great choice.
Yeah. So if you want to be a part of that and see some of our crazy out of context quotes, let me grab a random one out for you. Vaccines cause autism, Ethan.
Uh-oh.
Prey.com foreskin, Jamie. Wasn't he gay, James? Bunny cummies. Well, we got all these fun things. So you can pick out your favorite thing that made sense in context, right? And just catch us out there. But anyways, Discord's a fun place to hang out. And all you have to do is discord.gg/loreboys, and you'll get in there. So that's it.
Yeah. And Peter, what about you?
My responsibility, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come say hello. Thank you for all the follows. Thank you for all the likes. Some of our images have been doing really, really well these days, which always makes me feel good because, of course, I spend time drawing them and putting it all together. And it's just like visualizing our dumb jokes, visualizing our out of context quotes. Right. I do fan art of Ethan getting autism from a vaccine or something like that.
That's this week's art.
Like Chinese line work. Ethan getting vaccinated.
Yeah. Like it was Chinese mythology. Somehow we had to tie it back to COVID. Right. Like,
yeah, of course. at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Thank you everybody who reaches out over there. I know I've been like off social media for like weeks at this point, frankly love it because I'm so busy, but I'll get back to reading your messages, so feel free to continue sending memes because some of them are fantastic. And then as far as any of my personal work goes, my comic will be released early 2024 at some point through Loreboys. So if you guys have been waiting for that for 2 years that I've been talking about it, like in the process of producing it, of course, that's how you're gonna find it. And I just draw Stickman. I Stickman all day. That's it. That's what I do.
Draw good Stickman though. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. That has some perks that we've already talked about on this episode, so I won't bore you with the details. If you don't trust Patreon, and you want to be thankful for us, we do have Loreboys Prime, of course. As always, we're putting together a Thanksgiving dinner. We need your guys' help doing so. I'm thankful for all our wonderful patrons who send Jamie their cranberries. That's what I'm most thankful for, because Jamie needs a lot of cranberry sauce. He eats it directly into his stomach.
I love cranberry sauce. I get just nasty urinary tract infections if I don't get at least a can of the cran a day.
A can of the cran. You should see Jamie's apartment. It's all empty cans of cranberry sauce. It's a tetanus infection waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess Gray's just got a scrap yard of Ocean Spray cans.
Yep.
I'll be bringing the tofurkey, so no need to worry about that. No one's allowed to eat meat at my Thanksgiving. No, thank you. So I'm the God Emperor of the Lore Boys podcast, if you really think about it, probably. So I
I'm bringing Rhodey yams. I'm bringing a six of Rhodey yams, like in the plastic ring.
Which might be from the bonus. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
The Lore Boys.
I think it was this.
We were talking about calorific deficits on
the bonus. Oh, damn it.
But also a little bit on this.
If you want our dieting advice, I'm also bringing a very low calorie dish. It is a bag of elephant farts, a whole garbage bag. share that.
Everyone's favorite Thanksgiving dessert, the elephant farts.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to bring their own, you know, but grandma makes the best bag of elephant farts. I hope she leaves me her recipe when she dies. I think that would cut to
Lore Boys. Out.
Did grandma die or did she bring her elephant farts again?
All right. I'm going to the washroom again.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.